Shalom, Mishpachah, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely lady and forever student of Scripture, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, honey, and I pray that we are all serious students of God's Holy Word, and not just readers.
Amen to that.
We are currently in the book of Daniel, and all past programs are up on shofarministries.net. Let's first ask for His Holy Spirit presence this evening.
Abba, Father, we do covet Your divine presence over this program and on everyone giving their ear to hear what Your Spirit is conveying to all of us in these last days. We long for more of Your wisdom to get us through our often hectic lives. We also pray special insight to all our new leaders of government and that they maintain a humble spirit. We pray for Israel's remaining hostages to all be released. We also ask for healings upon these prayer requests recently received and for the salvation of all our loved ones. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
And amen.
Yeah, last week President Trump met with the governors from all 50 states.
He did, and covered many topics, including chemtrails, or spray, as he called it. And he said, we spray all over the place and other countries don't, while suggesting that the rising rates of autism among children could be linked to the United States government possibly spraying something in the air. But he still refuses to also acknowledge the possible dangers of some vaccines.
But he did hint that we are going to figure it out.
Well, thankfully, but let's face it, we can't have Maha without addressing those chemtrails.
Yes.
And hopefully the COVID shot will be addressed as well.
It will be interesting to see how RFK does that.
Especially since it was just in the news that in France, a life insurance company denied payment to the family of their loved one because he died because of the COVID shot. For they said he had to know it was experimental and therefore should not have taken it.
So the family then took the insurance company to court.
Mm-hmm. But the judge agreed that since they used it as experimental, the life insurance had legal rights to deny. That is why Big Pharma made it well known it did not have the final FDA stamp of approval to spare them from future legal suits.
And now life insurance companies as well.
Hopefully that will not spread to the United States.
Looks like Israel will remain in phase one of the ceasefire.
Yeah, for a while, as phase two is being negotiated, but both sides want to see the other completely out of Gaza, which is a non-starter on both sides. Therefore, more war is inevitable. And also in Lebanon, because Hezbollah and its rocket launchers are still south of the Litani River, which Israel struck over the weekend.
So, Hezbollah has violated the ceasefire agreement.
Yeah, so expect to have back those tit-for-tat attacks. And Israel has also expanded its operations in North Samaria by sending in armored tanks, and they're watching closely the Palestinian refugee camps that they know are centers for terror in the West Bank. Israel is also guarding the Golan Heights and Mount Hermon because Syria's new government, run by HDS, has troops in the areas, and Netanyahu is demanding full demilitarization, which, of course, sparked some major protest just south of Damascus. Meanwhile, Iran is still babbling threats at Israel.
So, Israel still has its hands full, but at least now, no restrictions from the White House.
And that is huge.
And over in Rome, the Pope is still in critical condition.
Yeah, as I wrote in the newsletter that went out Sunday, that's a major sign for the end-time scenario, which we will expound on when we get to Daniel chapter 9. And finally, I just want to say, with so much going on in the probability of a new pope, also keep your eye on what's occurring with AI and singularity, because the events happening is exactly what is needed for the implementation of the Antichrist's new world order.
Explain singularity in easy terms.
Okay, well, to put it simply, it's when computers can actually reason with itself, enabling it to program itself.
So then AI becomes smarter than humans.
Yeah, and behind the scenes, some say that's already been accomplished, and now it's just being tweaked. And by the way, after the rapture, they still have 3 years before the Antichrist puts it all in full force. The image to be worshipped by chipped humans will have full artificial intelligence, but really run by Satan. And the Antichrist image of the beast will know who is not worshipping him by their inserted chips that Revelation calls the mark.
Another reason we need to mine more rare earth minerals.
Exactly as Trump wants to do. He is the man for such a time as this.
All right, then. We do welcome your comments and end-time questions, either by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave me a detailed message to 440-834-9006 or to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. And your love offerings are certainly appreciated, which will include you in our newsletters. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will find our past radio and teaching newsletters archived for your learning pleasure. Okay, we're continuing in the book of Daniel.
Yes, we are. So in chapter 1, Daniel and his three companions were kidnapped during Nebuchadnezzar's first siege upon Jerusalem. Chapter 2 is Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Chapter 3 is the fiery furnace. Chapter 4 is Nebuchadnezzar's testimony. And we ended last week in chapter 5 with the handwriting on the wall that scared the bejeebies out of Belshazzar, the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, who had died about a year after he repented once again. So we think we'll see him in heaven.
But God only knows.
That is true. Now in chapter 6, we see a peculiar situation in regards to their new king, Darius, whose name is Cyrus.
Because Darius is his honorable title.
Yes, it means maintainer or holder of the scepter. And actually was used later of 5 different Persian rulers, which can't be confusing when doing an historical account. Anyhow, this new King Cyrus pretty quickly allowed the Jews to return to Jerusalem to build up the city in his first year that you can read about in Ezra and what we'll be going over again in chapter 9.
Obviously, Daniel stayed in Babylon.
Perhaps he was just too old to make the long trip since no longer a teen. Had to be, I would say, in his 80s as he was 70 years in Babylon. And mostly in a position of honor while enduring his paganistic surroundings.
If Daniel can make it there, we can make it anywhere.
Yes, we can. Good point. But here's the baffling question. Why did Cyrus allow Daniel to be thrown in the lion's den after knowing all that Daniel and his three friends had accomplished? Also, why did God allow it?
He had a higher purpose?
For sure, as he does often in our own lives as well. How's that scripture go, honey?
Count it all joy when you fall into various trials.
And knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience.
James 1.
And a little side note here, we read about many lion heroes in Hebrews 11. You know, like Samson from Judges 14, who tore that lion up. And David in 1 Samuel 17 told Saul that he could easily kill Goliath because of what he had done with the lions and bears. And Benaiah in David's army, 2 Samuel 23, killed a lion even on a snowy day.
Which is rare in Israel.
But occasionally happens. And in fact, just yesterday, snow blanketed Jerusalem. And then there's Psalm 57, 4 and 58, verse 6, which reads,
"Break their teeth in their mouth, O God. Break out the fangs of the young lions, O Lord."
And Satan comes as a roaring lion. In other words, like demons. Is there a lion in your life? Slay them now, and rather, make the Lion King of the tribe of Judah your lion and best friend.
Amen to that.
Anyhow, now we're about to see that Daniel makes a lion his friend. So chapter 6 begins by telling you that Cyrus set up 120 satraps, or actually protectors of regions.
Kind of like our mayors today.
Yes, who answered to three governors over them, and one was Daniel, who was very respected by the king, which made the other two governors and leaders jealous. So they devised a wicked plan against a law of Daniel's God by flattering the king into signing a written royal decree that all must prayerfully honor his king for 30 days as above all other gods.
Knowing that any written decree cannot be changed.
Right, and we see that Persian rule in the book of Esther as well.
Yes, we do.
By the way, kings just assumed divinity, and many loved to be worshipped. But Cyrus forgot about Daniel not worshipping anything but his own God.
So the king was trapped.
Yes, and they did arrest Daniel while he was praying towards Jerusalem to the God of Israel. And they brought him to the king, reminding him that he signed the decree.
And the king was very sad and languished over it.
But then showed his faith in Daniel's God by telling Daniel that his God, whom he served continually, he would deliver him.
Now that is amazing faith from Cyrus.
I'll say. So they put Daniel in the pit, and the king went back to his palace and fasted.
And did not sleep all night.
And quickly went to the pit in the morning and hollered into Daniel, who answered that his God sent an angel to shut the lions' mouths. They brought him out, and no mark was even seen on him anywhere. In fact, honey, please read verse 24.
And the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den.
And by the way, it was a Persian law that if you accuse someone unjustly, that you and your family are to be thrown in the lion's den. And that's what happened to them.
And chapter 6 ends with the king glorifying Daniel's living God.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, notice Cyrus is using Daniel's Hebrew name and not his Babylonian name. And closes in verse 28 that says,
"So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian."
By the way, the word "and" in this verse should actually read "or," the reign of Cyrus.
Chapter 6 closes the first half, which was historically narrative.
Yes, and chapter 7 through 12 is like an appendix to the first half. It like goes back and fills in more of the story. Chapter 7 goes back to the time of Belshazzar's first year and takes a look at Daniel's dream of the four empires from God's viewpoint, and therefore similar but differs a bit from Nebuchadnezzar's dream in chapter 2. And just to tell you what is coming, in chapter 8 we see some of Alexander the Great's career. Chapter 9 is the most dramatic, of course, important, and amazing end-time prophecy.
Chapter 10 is the dark side of the spirit world.
And in Chapter 11, we see prophecy so precise that skeptics say, well, it just had to be added later. But it was not.
And Chapter 12 is the grand finale.
So, let's start in Chapter 7, which, by the way, it's been pretty easy so far, wouldn't you say? Chapter 7 has some great and deep eschatological truth in it. And then, by the way, Chapter 8, you'll see some details of Persia and some of Alexander the Great's career.
But Daniel 9 is our favorite.
I think everyone knows that, with the prophecy foretelling of Christ's first arrival.
And when to expect the Antichrist.
And even what ethnicity he will be.
So many Christians miss the fact.
They do. But never lose sight of the fact that every book is carefully engineered to be an integral message system. With this Chapter 7, as well as Chapter 2, laying out Gentile history, then Chapter 11 just adds more detail to the Gentile history. So Chapter 2 was that shiny metal image of 4 plus Part B, empires from man's point of view. Now in Chapter 7, we see the same empires, but as ferocious beasts from God's point of view.
So the times of the Gentiles begins with the Babylonian Empire.
Yeah. So again, the rest of Daniel's book fills in other chapters, and now in Chapter 7, we go back to the first year in Belshazzar's reign after Chapter 4, but before Chapter 5's handwriting on the wall and Belshazzar's demise.
Chapter 8 takes place around the third year of Belshazzar.
And Chapter 9 is the second year of Darius Cyrus, and Chapter 10 through 12 around the third year of Darius Cyrus. But Chapter 1 tells us Daniel had his first dream with visions of a very windy night stirring up the great sea.
That, of course, is the Mediterranean.
Yes, and when he awoke, immediately wrote it all down. The sea is often a type used for Gentile nations, and it sometimes is just called waters, as in Revelation 13 and 17. And by the way, the winds are often associated with God's sovereignty over hostile forces. Anyhow, Daniel sees four great different beasts rising out of the sea. And verse 4 describes Babylon as the lion with eagle's wings that were plucked off and stood like man who grew feathers and had a heart.
This speaks of Nebuchadnezzar, who was as a beast for 7 years in Chapter 4.
You know, many of us have seen pictures of a lion with wings on the bricks of the Wall of Babylon.
And some of those original bricks, you know, they're in the British Museum.
And then comes another beast as a bear. So less regal, but devoured much flesh, meaning victorious, but described as unbalanced in that Persia outweighed Media. And was holding three ribs in his mouth, which represents the Persians who had already conquered the Medes, but the three ribs we know from history was for the last three provinces they took. And that was Egypt, Lydia, and Babylon. By the way, in the next chapter, we see this bear now described as a goat with two horns. But moving on to verse 6. So we saw that the lion devours and the bear crushes. Next we see the next empire described as a leopard.
Alexander the Great.
Who springs quickly upon its prey.
What is more agile than a cat?
And the leopard has four wings so to fly. The lion only two, and as well, this leopard has four heads.
I'm glad hindsight is 40-40.
Yes, very accurate, because Alexander the Great worked quickly and conquered everything, so much so that he got bored and drank himself to death at age 29.
So, what about the foreheads?
So glad you asked. His empire was so big that they had to divide it up into four areas with four generals.
North, east, south, and west.
Yes, until the east conquered the south by Seleucus, who already had Syria and Babylon, but now as well takes over Egypt, Arabia, and...
good old Israel.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, we know that after Seleucus comes Antiochus Epiphanes.
A picture of the Antichrist.
Then the Maccabean revolt, and then in 64 B.C., Rome takes over for about 500 years and is represented in Daniel's vision by the beast with iron teeth and 10 horns. Remember in Nebuchadnezzar's dream of the image with iron legs?
That, of course, is Rome.
Who, incidentally, had 10 emperors before losing strength, but will return later, after us, who also has 10 horns, but with 7 heads as well. Revelation 13. Now, we'll continue this next time, but we want to leave you with this scripture from Hosea, who tells Israel, way back when, what is coming from God, but that he will rescue them and be their king. Let's read Hosea 13, honey, verses 5 through 8.
I knew you in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. When they had pasture, they were filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore, they forgot me. So I will be to them like a lion. Like a leopard by the road, I will lurk. I will meet them like a bear deprived of her cubs. I will tear open their ribcage, and I will devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them.
Just like Daniel chapter 7. And then God says he will help them and be their king. And he does. And it's not over yet, because he will again. That's what Jacob's trouble is all about. So till next time, let me first ask you an important question. Is Yeshua Lord over your life? Luke 21 says you can escape the coming fiery judgment with a simple prayer. Just admit you are a sinner. Repent and invite him into your heart, into your spirit, into your innermost being. Then let him, let the Lord, have dominance over you instead of the God of this world. Because if Jesus isn't ruling your life, then the devil is. And that's just a fact. You might not even know it or realize it. But there is no in-between. And if you call yourself a Christian, I'm talking to you Christians out there, but you are lukewarm, and let's face it, you know if you're lukewarm. Get your act together right now. Tithe your time in God's Word. Study it profusely. You need it for discernment. If you want more Jesus, you got to put more Jesus in. I want to leave you with the ironic blessing from number 6. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, that lasting shalom. So till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because if you love her, you're going to prosper. Till next time, Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila at shofarministries.net. That's Sheila at shofarministries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.